Do you ever wonder if you have turned your back on God too many times, wandered too far, or sinned too greatly for God to pursue you, call you back to Himself, and save you? If so, then today's message is for you. In this message, Pastor Paul Tauches highlights God's faithfulness to His promises and His people in spite of their sin and rebellion. And while the Bible reminds us that there are certainly consequences for disregarding God's law in order to pursue our own way, God chooses to redeem us based on His character and His goodness, never ours. Let's open our Bibles now to Ezekiel chapter 37 and listen as Pastor Paul Tauches examines the life and ministry of the prophet Ezekiel in order to give us hope for the future as we together delight in the Word.
Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And He led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know. Then He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take a stick and write on it for Judah and the people of Israel associated with him. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel associated with him. And join them one to another into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. And when your people say to you, will you not tell us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am about to take the stick of Joseph that is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel associated with him, and I will join with it the stick of Judah and make them one stick, that they may be one in my hand. When the sticks on which you write are in your hand before your eyes, then say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone, and I will gather them from all around and will bring them to their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over them all, and they shall be no longer two nations and no longer divided into two kingdoms. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols and their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions, but I will save them from all the backslidings in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall walk in my rules and be careful to obey my statutes. They shall dwell in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, where your fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children shall dwell there forever, and David my servant shall be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will set them in their land and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel, when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. There is so much in this chapter for us to behold about the wonder of God, the power of God, and the promise of God to new life. Well, who is this Ezekiel guy who preached during the time of the exile? His name means God will strengthen, which is really encouraging because that's what the people needed in their time, as the people were in the midst of their 70 years of exile in Babylon. God would use Ezekiel to strengthen them. He and his wife were among 10,000 Jews who were taken in the first deportment to Babylon in 597 BC. He was only 25 years old at the time. And 5 years later, he would be called to be a prophet of God. His wife died the first day that Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem. Ezekiel preached during the time of Daniel, who was also taken to Babylon. And his audience is the whole house of Israel, as we've already read here in this chapter. But the basic theme of the book of Ezekiel is this: God has promised a glorious restoration. So through the words of Ezekiel to the people as they are suffering in their time of exile, he brings to their attention that God has made a covenant with them that started with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and has come all the way to this portion of biblical history, and he will keep his promise. So Ezekiel was called by God and sent to prophesy to Israel for this purpose, to inform the people that in spite of their rebellion, which led to their exile, God still had a plan for them, that God would strengthen them, that he would give them new hope, and that he would give them new life. He would restore them to their land, and he would restore them, most importantly, to himself. So in light of that, this morning, there are three promises the Lord wants you to understand and trust. Number one, you need to trust the promise of spiritual regeneration by the Holy Spirit. The promise of spiritual regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Notice in the first three verses that the bones are dry. The valley is filled with bones. They're dead. They're dry. They're skinless. This is the nation. This is the nation that is dead. And so the Lord asks the prophet in verse 3, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, oh Lord, only you know. Oh Lord, you know, you are the one, you're the only one who could possibly bring life. You're the only one who could possibly resuscitate us as a nation. And so in verse 4, God directs him to speak the word of the Lord over the bones. as God promises then to breathe life into them. And it's exactly what happens. And so he speaks the word of the Lord, the message of God, over the bones. And he then begins to hear all this rattling going on in verse 7. The bones are connecting to other bones. And then there's sinews and muscle and skin that's coming upon them. And now there is this mighty army that is standing there and yet is lifeless. And so he says, speak to them and I will breathe my life into them. And that's what happened, verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. These bones, verse 11, are the whole nation of Israel, God says. So what Ezekiel sees is the restoration of Israel as a nation, having been torn apart by the two exiles, some to Assyria, some to Babylon. Ezekiel now gives these people hope that God will once again reunite them. God will bring them back to the land, restore them, because he has a good plan and a good purpose for them. And God will do all of this, verse 13 says, so that the people will again know that he alone is God. He alone can bring life out of death. He alone can resurrect dead people. God will do this. That's what Ezekiel saw. But there's something even more important here. And that's the spiritual regeneration of the remnant of Israel. Not just the national restoration of them to their land, but the spiritual regeneration of them, the remnant, which includes those who truly embrace the promise of the Messiah. Stop there for a moment, because this reminds us of the whole purpose of God choosing Israel. God did not choose Israel, according to the book of Deuteronomy, because they were more special than any other people on the planet. He chose them to be his chosen vehicle of blessing to the world and as the spotlight of his holiness. And that's why he gave them the covenants, and that's why he gave them the law. But they profaned his name. They didn't live up to their calling. And the nations then lost their witness. The witness of the light of the holiness of God that was supposed to come through Israel was lost. It was profaned. And so God sent them into exile to deal with them, to deal with their idolatry once and for all. So then he promises, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. That's forgiveness. Verse 25, this is spiritual regeneration. This is spiritual resurrection. This is new life. This is grace. I will forgive you, and I'll give you a new heart, verse 26. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. I will do for you, Israel, what you could never have done for yourselves if given 10,000, 10 million, 10 trillion lifetimes. I will put within you my life, the very life of God, the Holy Spirit, so that you will be able to obey. Oh, what great encouragement there is in that for us as believers who have the Holy Spirit living within us. God calls us to a high and holy calling that we could never have fulfilled in our own strength. We still cannot fulfill in our own strength. But God has put his Spirit within us to cause us to walk in his ways. See, Ezekiel saw into the future. He saw a day when God would send the Holy Spirit to do more than regather Israel as a people, but to indwell those who embraced by faith the promise of the Messiah. As the Apostle Paul reveals in Romans 2, there is a difference between being a Jew physiologically and being a Jew spiritually. He writes, "For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God." So both the Old Testament prophet and the New Testament apostle are saying the same thing. The true Jew is part of the believing remnant. He is one whom the Holy Spirit brings to spiritual life through the gospel, through the preaching of the word of God. Just as Ezekiel preached the word, and the word of God is what God used to bring those bones to life, so it is in evangelism, so it is in gospel ministry, so it is every Sunday morning when I stand in this pulpit. If anything is going to happen to the eternal glory of God, it's not because of me. It's because the Holy Spirit has chosen to use his word to breathe life into his people. But there's a second promise the Lord wants you to understand and trust. And that is the promise of national restoration under God. The promise of national restoration under God. This is verses 15 through 23. The word of the Lord, it says in verse 15, comes again to Ezekiel. And he then, God says, take these sticks, these two sticks, and write names on them, and then join them together into one stick. Why? Because he wanted a visual illustration of the reunification of the tribes back into one. See, they were divided in 931 BC after Solomon. That's when Israel was divided into two kingdoms. And now Ezekiel is seeing in this vision the future where God is going to bring these back together. The divided kingdom will no longer be divided. It will be reunited. And that is what God began to do in 539 BC when he used the Emperor Cyrus to give the command, the dictate, the permission for the Jews to go back to their land. Isaiah predicted it. Ezra and Nehemiah record it in their books. But Ezekiel sees it ahead of time. The people returning to the promised land, Jerusalem, is then rebuilt. We could say that another stage in the fulfillment of this prophecy took place on May 14th, 1948, when the first Jewish state in 2,000 years was established. And the days that are leading up to the return of Jesus Christ will include the same. God is right now regathering Israel to the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is a third promise that the Lord wants you to understand and trust this morning. That is the promise of the everlasting reign of Jesus Christ. The one coming king is mentioned in verse 22. And the one king shall be king over them all. The complete fulfillment of this prophecy is now more fully given in the last five verses of the chapter. Look at verse 24. My servant David shall be king over them. This one king that's mentioned in verse 22 is my servant David, well, of course, David's been dead a long time now, so this can't refer to King David, but no, this refers to the greater son of David, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the son of David. See, God had promised this in the covenant that he made with David that's recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 7 when Nathan the prophet brings this covenant to David. He says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth." And he did all of that. But then he said, in the future, David, when you are no longer alive, when your days are fulfilled, and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body. That is, he will be of the descent of the line of David, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. What kingdom is that? That's the everlasting kingdom of Christ, the greater son of David. And according to Ezekiel, this David shall be the one shepherd and king, and the people will walk in his rules and obey his statutes. And they will dwell, verse 25, in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob. I will make a covenant of peace, verse 26, with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant. This looks forward to the new covenant that God would make with his people through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But this covenant will include more than believing Jews. It will include believing Gentiles like you and me. See, as strange as Ezekiel 37 appears to be, I trust that now you see how it contributes to the big story. The big story of redemption. Back in February, when we began this sermon series, I called it From Garden to Garden, and it's my attempt to help you to see the big picture. From the garden in Genesis, the Garden of Eden, when God created man and woman in his image to live in his fellowship, to live in his very presence. But sin affected that. Sin destroyed that fellowship. Sin broke that relationship. And everything then from that point on in Genesis 3, when God kills that animal and clothes them with the garments made from the skin of that animal to show them that God would take care of their sin problem so that they could then again live in his presence. Everything from that moment through the whole Bible is reaching forward to Revelation 21:3. When in the garden, the new garden, in the new Jerusalem, God will dwell again with his people. They shall be in his presence. All because of his grace. All because he kept his promise. He said he would send one who would conquer the devil, who would defeat sin. He said he would send a king who would sit on his throne. He said he would send a deliverer for his people. And he has done all of that. He's accomplished it through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he will fully accomplish it when Jesus comes again, when King Jesus returns to set up his everlasting kingdom. And God will dwell with his people. And we will be with him. And he will be our God. Is that not incredible?
The promise of reigning with Christ forever is a promise for those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you, have you come to the Lord Jesus, turned from your sin, and embraced him as your Lord and Savior? If so, then you can look forward to the future with great hope and confidence. And if not, let me encourage you not to let another day, another moment go by in rebellion and unbelief. Jesus is giving you an invitation right now. And he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Will you enter the rest of Jesus today? Will you put your trust in him? This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you live near Cleveland and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. We'll resume our series From Garden to Garden next time as we together delight in the Word.